So here we are in the fifth parak of Megillat Esther. And I was thinking, what's this parak about? What's the big idea? If you were to sit there, for example, a little over a year from now, and you were to come to the fifth parak of the Megillah, assuming that it was being read at a reasonable rate, so what should you have immediately in your mind when you hit the fifth parak of the Megillah?
We're halfway there.
We're
halfway there.
Halfway there. Okay.
Practical.
Very practical. All right. Are we there yet? Yes, that's very good. All right. I thought the meta idea is Esther as strategist. Okay? Three words. Esther as strategist. And I think you're going to see it borne out as we go through the psukim. And a significant part of the Malbim's commentary. Okay, if you look at the booklet, this is a little bit unusual in terms of what we've done. But first I have all the psukim. And then I have the Malbim's commentary without the Malbim's questions. So I did a lot of editing, you know, when I prepared this for you. Okay?
So you're only putting
it. It's only the Malbim. I mean, I'll put in a little bit of Rashi, a little bit of Chazal. And some of you may say to me, why the Malbim? Okay? I can tell you, I've been studying the Malbim on Torah with one of my chavrutot for probably about 20 years. And I'm very predisposed to him in many ways. And I've reached a point in my own learning after 20 years where even if I can't give his answers, many a time I've come up with his questions. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful feeling. It's a grand experience every time I encounter the Malbim. So I wanted to share some of that with you as well. So we're going to be looking at nuances in the psukim. Some of which the Malbim addresses, some of which he doesn't address, in a way that, of course, when we're actually laning the Megillah, it's impossible to do. But I think there's a lot of eye-openers. Let's begin with the first pasuk. So it says, Vayhi b'yom ha-shlishi, v'tilbash Esther malchut. And it was on the third day, okay, of apparently her fasting and so forth, from what we saw in the previous parak, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. And notice the Lashon. It's a very fascinating Lashon. V'tilbash Esther Malchut. Literally, guys, what's that translate as? Literally?
Put on her royalty.
What?
She put on her royalty.
Right. She put on the majesty. So what should it have said? Very good. Excellent. She put on the Levush Malchut. It doesn't say that. So right away, that should be a big, you know, like sort of stop sign to say, stop, look, listen, think.
So is that like saying that she was just wearing the crown like Vashti did?
No. Remember, we're dealing, you know, you're stuck back there. And she wasn't green, that green anyway. No, I mean, of course, after 3 days, anybody would be green. But the bottom line is, no. Okay? She was wearing malchut. We're going to have to see what that means. And we'll discuss what that means.
Is that like Hashem's protection, maybe?
It's very good.
But not the right answer.
No. Did I say that? No. No. In fact, Arlene's suggestion was, you know, she clothed, so to speak, in Hashem. And guess what? Okay, and this is one of the reasons why learning in a women's shir is so amazing. You know, as Rabbi Edelstein has said on a number of occasions, I'm so lucky because many a time the kinds of ideas and thoughts that come up are genuinely almost on the chidush level. Or even if they're not on the Chidush level, they're actually ideas found in the Gemara without having studied the Gemara. Arlene just said on one of them. Mm-hmm. When it says, V'tilbash Esther Malchut, it means that she had a kind of ruach, Kodesh, one of the ideas that happened to be found in the Gemara. Okay? We're going to see what the Malbim says.
Okay? She took off the sackcloth and everything, put back her.
Yes. Okay, but as your mom said so well, right? It doesn't say, you know, levush malchut. Okay? V'ta'amod, okay, so she stood b'chatzer beit ha-melech, right? In the courtyard of the house of the king. Ha-panimit, in the inner part. Nochach, okay, nochach beit ha-melech, across from the house of the king, literally. So there's two, basically without going into the physical stuff, because I didn't think that was all that exciting. But there are actually two segments of where the king could possibly have been. It turns out he was in the outer portion. V'hamelech Yoshev al kisei malchuto, and he was sitting on his throne. V'beit hamalchut, in the beit hamalchut, not in the beit hamelech. Okay? Nochach petach habayit. So he was right there. He was right there. Now, let's look at the first Malbim. He has an interesting idea. We're not, of course, going to do all of this. And if you so desire, kol hakavod. They're right down there. Okay. So we're just going to do the first line in this first Malbim. So it says, V'tilbash Esther Malchut. Now, it's very interesting. It's very fascinating what he says. I mean, I love his language. I think you will too. Hamalchut lavashta, the kingship or the queenship in her case, dressed her. Isn't that interesting? Vayehi kamita, and it was proper and it was fitting. She looked like a queen. She acted like a queen. A beautiful idea, right? When we think of Eshet Chayil Miyimsa, we're talking about you guys, obviously, on one level, the greatness of the Jewish woman. She's representative of that. Hamalchut Lavashta, she was clothed by the queenship, the Yehikamidah, and everybody, and it was proper, it was fitting. Ad, says the Malbim, shekol ro'eha, until anyone who saw her, hikiru, could recognize this, ki la ya'ot hamalucha, that it was fitting and proper for her to be the representative of the crown. Fascinating, right? Fascinating. So that's another way of looking at it. So you have the deeply, deeply spiritual idea, the Gemara and what Arlene suggested of the Ruach HaKodesh idea. And then you have that physically, she was deserving of wearing, right, the garments of the being the queen. Okay? First idea. Next. Now, we're going... I can tell you the Pasuk Bet, Allah the Malbim, is going to be explained in a way that you and I have never heard before. So unusual, but it's so interesting. Vayhi chirot ha-melech, and it was when the king saw, et Esther ha-malka, Esther the queen. Now right away, what word in that of, I think it was four words, or five words. What word is seemingly superfluous? What word don't you really know? What don't you need?
You don't need Esther, or you don't need Malka, one or the other.
Correct.
You need Esther, or you need Malka.
Correct. So, it right, doesn't everybody know by this point that she is the Malka? So, it's interesting. Based on Pasuk Aleph and the understanding that we gave, what can we say about Esther? She personified the Malchut. She, in other words, this was her moment. This was her moment where she really was going to act as queen. Perhaps not so much as the queen of Persia, but she was the queen of the Jews on a certain level. Right? Because She is now strategizing and presenting a strategy that the king is clueless about what's going on, but it's a incremental. It is something along the lines of, let's try step by step. Let's get the king on our side. Let's have everybody understand. And that's what she does. V'hi kirot ha-melech et Esther ha-malka omedet b'chatzer. She, when he saw, right, Esther the queen standing in the courtyard, nasa chein be'enav. She immediately garnered favor in his eyes. And we're going to see why. It's not for the reasons that you and I might think. And what does he do? V'yoshed ha-melech la-Esther et sharbit ha-zahav. And he extended to Esther the golden scepter. Asher b'yado, that was in his hand. And by the way, Chazal say that was miraculous. He didn't always have the scepter with him. V'tikrav Esther, and Esther drew near. V'tiga b'rosh ha-sharbit. And she touched, literally, the head of the scepter. Okay. Now, a very good question, and maybe you guys can come up with some answers, and we'll see if any of them happen to correspond to the Malkin. They don't have to.
Why would you have to touch the scepter?
Go ahead.
Why would you have to touch the scepter?
Okay, so very good. So what is touching the scepter indicative of?
He extended it.
Okay. It's showing also what? Obeisance, loyalty, recognition that he's in the stronger position. All of those things. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, why do you think she found favor in his eyes?
Oh, why? She's beautiful.
Okay, but he had one or two maidens that, you know, were beautiful.
Well, she personified, as you said, Malchus.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so
here's Hashem, you know, gave him the, you know, the opportunity to see her and say, you know, gave him free will, and he liked what he saw.
Good.
Well, she played on his strong points, in other words, you know.
Or weak points, depending on how you want to look at it. Correct. I mean, you know, you can't say right. David and Bathsheba in their first meeting, right. Where David was playing to his, you know, strong suit right. There. Okay. Okay. Played to, you know.
A suit.
Whatever way you want to look at it. Let's see how the Malbim looks at it, because this is truly an amazing Malbim. Okay. This is Bet, right? Now, what's this talking about? It says the Malbim. Misaper. See where it says Bet? On page 2? So, Misaper, ki ba'ahavat ha-melech. Misaper is a word we all know. Lisaper, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right? So, the Malbim is telling you. This is telling you the story. Ki ba'ahavat ha-melech et Esther. With the love of the king for Esther, lo... Now, big chiddush. I've never seen anyone say this. Lo ala libo me'olam. He never even had a thought. Shehagezera hazot shelo yikanes ish lechatzer hamelech apnimit b'lo reshut yachlol gam et Esther. Never in my right mind did I ever think this. What is he saying? So the Malbim is saying that the king never, ever extended the gezerah that if you stand there without permission, you're going to be killed to Esther. Never. Now, honestly...
How does he know this?
What?
How does he know this?
Because he's the Malbim. Right? It reminds me once, you know, Rufsel, I wasn't there. I heard this story from truly reliable sources. So once the Rav gave, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, gave an analysis of a certain piece of Gemara. So one of the Talmidim raised his hand, and the Rav called on him, and he said, so Rebbe, what Rishon is that based on? So the Rav looks at him and he goes, no one. He goes, What Achron is that based on? He goes, no one. So Rebbe, where did you get it? From me. Okay? And he didn't say it, because if you knew the Rav, he didn't say it with a lack of humility or anything like that, is that this is Torah. And I'm going to say what I believe is right. Okay? It's very interesting. So that's what the Malbim did. How did he get that? I don't know, but he's the Malbim. Okay? Now, you ready? Ki bi'ata etzlo, because her coming to him, af lebeit malchuto, okay, even unto the beit ha-melech, haya chaviv v'yikar lo. He was loving it. Lead us not forget, this is the first time that she came to him.
A miracle.
Okay. Well, something that she wouldn't have done, except, what how's it go? Something times call for desperate times call for desperate measures. I think they call those draconian measures. So this is what's going on. She has to save the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So she bites the bullet or the scepter, and here she is. Okay, and the king was loving it. And he never thought at all that she needed to stand there until he extended the scepter. Okay, Ve'al came. Now, if you want to star something, this is a really crucial pasuk. Ve'al came. Keta of the Malbim. Ve'al ken kirot ha-melech et Esther, when he saw her, hagam she, he Esther ha-malcha, even though she was Esther the queen, v'lo aleh tachol gezera zot, and even though the gezera never was upon her, mikol makom ba'ana v'ata, with her tremendous humility. That's part of the beauty. That's part of her beauty. Okay? Why do you and I think that so many of these celebrities, okay, male or female, doesn't matter. Why don't we relate to them as human beings? No matter what they look like.
Not like us.
They're
not at our level.
Well,
they're hoity.
That's exactly it. There are most, many, but not all. Okay, because you can't say all about anything, right? But many of them are very arrogant. You know, I mean, and it's hard not to be, I suppose, if you're on People magazine and Cosmo and all the other stuff, right? All the time. But what they're missing is a nivud. So to you and me, in our with our values, I don't care what they look like. They're not beautiful. They're just not beautiful. But look at this. Look at her beauty. Not only was she physically beautiful, but mikol makom b'anavata, in her humility, her true humility. Omedet bechatzer, v'ena nechneset lifnim, and she didn't go in. Mitzad zeh nasachen be'enav. Because she was saying to him, I might be the queen, but you're the king. And I respect you. Okay? I remember like yesterday when Kennedy was shot. And I remember LBJ taking the oath of office on the airplane, which of course I think most of you who are old enough to remember it now know that he never had to. He was automatically the president, but he did it anyway. I remember that picture. And I was so upset that Kennedy had died that I drew bunny ears on LBJ. And my father opened up the newspaper and get very, very, very upset. And I'm being very polite about it. Okay? And he gave me a lesson that was a very important life lesson. You may not respect the man, but you have to respect the person, the title, and the position. And whether or not Esther really respected Ahasuerus is irrelevant. She treated him like the king that he was. Okay? And why? The next line is very, very interesting. The next part. Ki ra'ah shezeh ach. The only reason she did this, me'anavat tzedek, was from her righteous humility asher b'libah. Isn't that amazing? I couldn't have ever said this, okay? But this is the Malbim, and this is, hopefully you guys are getting a little bit of love for the Malbim the way I have it. It was absolutely genuine, okay? And first of all, he's the king, and her husband, okay? For better or for worse, take your pick, okay? And look how she treated him with the kind of love, not necessarily love, but the kind of respect and, you know, fealty that he deserved. Okay, here we go. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer la hamelech, and the king said to her. Now, it's very interesting. It doesn't say Vayomer el Esther, or Vayomer hamelech el Esther, Vayomer hamelech el Hamalka. But now she's already on the la level. Okay? I'm going to avoid terrible jokes like La La Land. I won't say that. Okay, Vayomer la hamelech. And she said, and he said to her, Malacha Esther Hamalka. Here, again, he's honoring her the way what?
She's honoring him.
Isn't that beautiful? You know,
he learned I would,
yeah, listen, I always tell young Hasanim, you know, I say, sometimes they'll come to me and they'll say, hey, you have any idea, you know, like good things you can share? Because you've been married for a few years and maybe you have a thought. And I say, I have a very good thought for you. If you treat her like a queen, you have a much better chance of being treated like a king. And what's, right? But first, so he goes, so what's first? I said, are you, yeah, I usually say, what? Clearly you haven't been married. Okay. First, you have to treat her like a queen. You have to treat her with the love and devotion. And then, you know, then you'll be a very happy person.
So why did the pasuk say then Hamelach HaChashverosh? Why is just the Melach? With that name?
It's interesting. Well, one of the reasons...
She's in love. She's giving him respect. She's not correct. Necessarily in love with him.
She's giving that's, his position respect.
Right.
Position it's respect. Title, exactly. Yeah. So everybody knows it's HaChashverosh because we started with that. But also remember one thing. Anytime it says Hamelach, it could be symbolically representing Kutcher Brichu, right? And that's why, like, you know, Hamelech, 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 Hamelech. Could be one reason. Okay, but that's ex post facto. But if you want to go from the inside out instead of the outside in, okay, organically, so then the idea, why does it say Hamelech? Because there isn't any question who the king is. But this is already Queen 0.02, right? Because we've already, you know, there's no more Vashti and all that. So, Vayomer la hamelech, ma la, let's see what it says, malach Esther hamalka. So, over those words, you should write the word she'ila, or question. Uma bekashatech, and what is your bakasha? We're going to be focused when we get to Pasuk Vav on the difference between a she'ila, a question, and bakasha, a request. Okay? And he's very magnanimous. Ad chatziha malchut. Okay? Up until half the whole kingdom. V'yinatein lach. And you will get it. Okay? Interesting, right? So certainly, she's done some really good planning. She's done some very good focusing. She's done some very good strategizing. And look how magnanimous he's being. Okay? V'tomer Esther. So now it's very interesting. We're gonna look at this in a minute in the Malbim. But let's first do our due diligence and try to understand it. V'tomer Esther. So Esther said, you know what? Im ha-melech tov. So again, speaking to the position. If it's good for the king, right? I mean, you know, if this goes in your direction and this is good for you, Yavo Hamelech v'Haman, boo. The king and Haman should come. Now, interestingly enough, isn't it? What would the proper Ivrit be? Not Yavo, but what?
Tavo.
Yavo.
Yep.
Ooh. How come it only says Yavo? Because Haman is subordinate to the king. So therefore, you can use singular language. Okay? So, v'yavo ha-melech v'haman, hayom, come today, el ha-mishteh, to the drinking party. K- Okay? Asher asiti lo, that I have made for him. Now, the Malbim doesn't talk about this. But who's the him?
Well, if it's she's referring to him in the third person out of respect.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Right? I have
she's calling him Hamelech.
Correct. Very good. I have a Rav I'm very, very, very close to in Brooklyn, Rav Chaim Halberstam, Shiyabada L'Chaim Ad Me'Vesrim Shana, very, very close to him. And he's never asked me to, but I always talk to him in the third person. Mm-hmm. How was the Rav? How was the Rebbetzin? How are the Rav and the Rebbetzin's children? And so on and so forth, and all the other things, whenever I ask a Shaila. It is a kind of respect. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. I don't do it with anybody else on the planet. Okay? But I, even with all of the twisting and turning you have to do with language to do it, it just, that's what I do. So I think she's doing the same thing. Okay? So one big question you would have here is, why does Esther invite Haman to this drinking party? Why?
To show his true colors.
Sir?
Okay, what'd you say? Speak up.
To show his true colors, to show how unsophisticated kind of a swine guy he is.
Okay, an idea. Good.
To put herself in his good graces. This way she'll see that she's a nice person. And
okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. So those are reasonable and good ideas. Doesn't mean that they're bad. The Malbim is going to suggest something a little different. Mm-hmm. He, you know, remember, I want to take you higher. Remember the Sly and a Family Stone? A
uh-huh. Wow.
Right? Okay. So the Malbim says to us, I want to take you higher. Mm-hmm. And the Malbim says something fascinating. Let's take a look.
So Hashem is involved in this?
You're going to love this, guys, because it's going to show you how brilliant Esther is.
That's just Jewish.
Right? I mean, we're... And again, you know how Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about Esther? This young, innocent, untested maiden. Yeah? But remember, young, untested, innocent maidens have Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valea throwing through their veins, flowing through their veins. So don't ever count anyone out. And as I always say, the strongest person in the world is a 5'2" Jewish woman. Okay? And I don't think Esther was much taller than that. So let's take a look here. Here's what the Malbim says. Yavo HaMelech HaTamim Shizamna Et Haman Rabim Meforshim. So again, this is the Malbim being somewhat iconoclastic. He says, you know, there's a lot of people out there who talked about this. There's three out of all those different approaches that I kind of like a lot. And this, I think, is the most powerful of all and shows the greatest amount of strategy. She did not want Achashverosh to think ki mesina atzmiit, based upon personal hatred, she yeshla a love that she had for Haman, nivakeshet et nafsho, she wanted Haman to eventually die. So how could she prove that?
She's saying it's not personal.
Right. In other words, what do we always say as adults that we should try to do? Whether it's in our personal relationships, our work relationships, right? Never be ad hominem. Never, you know, it's not third grade. You never look at someone and go, you're stupid. Okay, that's not going to work. What do? You know, I think you've come up with better ideas, and I have one myself. Let's share it, right? So she wants to impress Achashverosh with the idea that this isn't personal. But there is a problem. But she's not doing it at the first mishta, but at the second. But you got to set up the scene. So says the Malbim, "Bal yachshav Achashverosh." And when Achashverosh to think, "Ki mesina atzmaich yesh la alav mevakeshet et nafsho," that it was personal hatred. It was a personal thing. Lechein harida she showed, or harit would be proper ivrit, she showed, ki hi ein la alav, shum, we're on page 3, shum, okay, mastema, new word for me. She didn't have any hatred for him, right? And here is the big thing. Rak hatzalat nafsha v'yama mivakeshet. The only thing that she was desiring was that she and her people would be saved. Hatzalah-like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what was on her mind. Nothing again. And if she could get around Haman, matov v'manayim. But that was not to be. Okay? So that's the idea. Now, the second idea, I'll just say this on the outside in the interest of time. Notice one word that we never focus on. In the request, what does she say? She says that I made this party. In other words, it's all prepared. There's no issue. Okay? Okay, asher asiti. I've already done it. In other words, no problem. Just come on down to my party. Now, think about it. You're Ahasuerus. No, you're not Ahasuerus. But here's Ahasuerus. He's a pleasure-seeking guy. He loves to drink. He loves to talk with pretty women. Okay? And here's his party all set up.
You jump at the chance.
Go to that, yeah.
100%. And that's what Pasuk Hei says. Look what it says. Vayomar HaMelech, immediately, the king says, Maharu et Haman. La sod et devar Esther. Isn't that interesting?
No mouth in this time.
No, but who's in the driver's seat clearly?
Esther.
Let Haman, right? And he says to the chamberlains, hurry up, get Haman to do what Esther said. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it on the outside again in the interest of time. The Malbim says what? Here, Esther is put into a very powerful position. And think ancient feudal times. How is Haman in this phrase being actually treated? As if he was an Evid, not the second in command to the king. Interesting. That's what Malbim says. V'yavo HaMalach v'Haman El HaMishteh. Okay. By the way, if it's a party where they're eating and drinking, why is it called a mishta? Because what's first and foremost in Ahasuerus's mind?
Drinking
wine. I share Esta Esther. She already made it. Okay. Next. Vayomer HaMelech La Esther B'mishteh HaYayin. And here, it's explicit. The whole reason everyone's there is to drink wine. I guess they didn't. I don't think they had single malt scotch in Persia. Otherwise, I'm sure that would have been much more interesting to them. So, what now does he say? Ma she'elatech, what is your question? Ve'yinatein lach, and it'll be given to you. Uma bekashatech, and what is your request? Ad chatzei hamalchut. Up until including half the kingdom. The te'as, and it'll be done. Now, it's very, very interesting. Obviously, here we have the word she'ila explicit, and the word bakasha explicit. So what's the obvious question? In terms of language.
What's the difference?
Good, good. Exactly. Let's see what the Malbim has to say. Let's go to Vav. Okay? And again, unfortunately, you don't see this when you're hearing the laning, right? It's just like, but it's very fascinating when you think about it. So the Malbim says in Vav, HaMeforshim hivdilu bein she'ila u'bakasha. The Meforshim differentiate between she'ila, which might be translated not just as a question, but as a petition, u'bakasha, and a request. Okay? Now, because in each and every request, ma sheyishal tikra she'ila. So the form of the request is always put in to a question. V'hatachlit anirtza el ha'shoel, But the end result of what the Shoel is desirous of, Tikra, Bakasha. So you actually ask for a request. That's what he's saying. Okay? Now, skip down just a little bit to, see, three lines later. Okay? So he says, Uladaati, see where that is? The last word on the one, two, three, fourth line. Okay, everyone see that? Uladaati? Now, the Malbim explained a little bit more, but again, in the interest of time, I just want to make sure that we get this tonight. Uladaati she'ila hakatana. A she'ila is a small thing. Asher yasiga hasho'el v'kal. That the one who's requesting the she'ila is more than likely to get. And that's tikra she'ila. Okay, so I have a question. Are you busy today? You know, you want to meet for lunch? That's not really a big major thing, okay, assuming that they have the kind of relationship where you could ask such a question, okay? And it's going to be yes, no, or maybe, all right? V'hadavar hagadol, but the big item, shitzarik lovaksho, that you really have to request, and sometimes the request needs to be through supplication, ayidei tachanunim, pleading, nikra, Akasha. That's what a request is. So the Malbim says basically this. A she'ila is a davar katan. A bakasha is a davar gadol. Now, think about it, guys. Shemona Esrei is made up of three parts. Shevach, bakasha, and hoda'ah. With the Malbim's insight here in the Shemona Esrei, we can now say, what's bakasha? It's a big thing. It's really big. A new insight into Shemona Esrei, which is, of course, how all this began, right? In Tefillah. So now we have a different appreciation of what Bakasha is. Each one of the requests, the 13, I think it was, the 13 requests in the Bakasha that we do in the Shemona Esrei, never can be taken lightly. And it's not just that we're lifnei hamelech, but that the content of our requests are very, very big. Shema kolenu Hashem elokeinu chus v'rachem aleinu. That's big. Because as we said many times, are we deserving of that? Is it some sort of quid pro quo? Of course the answer is no. Shema kolenu chus v'rachem aleinu, even if we don't deserve it, that's bakasha, that's supplication. Okay, I thought you'd find that particularly fascinating. All right, let's go a little weiter. The last verse we'll do tonight, because I don't want to rush it. V'ta'an Esther, v'tomar, she'ilati u'vakashati. Leaves you hanging. For Esther, she has only one thing. Her she'ila is her bakasha. Her bakasha is her she'ila. Okay, that's what the Malbim says as well. Pasuchet, im, and it's a very easy one, at least to get started on. Im atzati chen be'enei hamelech, if I have actually found true favor in the eyes of the king, and look at this strategizing. V'im hamelech tov is like real diplomacy. If it's good for the king, letet et she'ilati, to respond to me, my She'ila. Now, by the way, according to the Malbim, why does she call it a she'ilati? Because it's pretty easy. By the way, King, you want to come to another party tomorrow night? You, as Sarah Palin once said, you betcha. V'la'asod bakashati. And also do my request. Now, I think mitzad, when it comes to Achashverosh, this was a she'ila. But why was it a bakasha? According to who? To Hashem and Esther. Esther, who's clothed in Ruach HaKodesh, knows how important this is. So I would say the She'ila part, come to the drinking party. That's easy. But what's going to go on there and what she's planning to go on there, that's a bakasha. So Yavoa Melech v'Haman, let the king and Haman, you know, your good buddy come. Elamishta, Asher Esed Lahem, that I'm going to make for them. Again, what she's talking in the third person, just like some of you picked up so well. Umachar Esed Kedavar HaMelech, and tomorrow, this is her hook. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do like the king has asked. Now, that could be any number of things. What has he asked her to do? Okay, does he want her to bring her coffee, bring him coffee and donuts? I mean, what's the request? So Chazal say, until this point, what has she never revealed to Ahasuerus?
That she's Jewish.
Exactly. He doesn't know her family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know her people. But as an extra hook, you know, like in other words, he to make sure that he doesn't check his Outlook calendar and see what do we have on the docket, she says, and you know what, King? Look at the strategy, look at the brilliance. If you come, guess what I'm going to tell you? And what happens?
She does.
She does. Okay? So next week, in a shir near you, we'll continue with Pasuk Tet in Yitz Hashem. Thank you guys for being so inspirational. And I'm so happy to be learning with you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.